It's time to get your news on. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
Yes, and away we go with the news. It's for week commencing November 24, 2024. This week, WIA Amateur Radio Magazine's Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH. WIA Board Report, presented by Chris Dimitrioff, VK3FY. The ARRL, Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology, is coming together Saturday, November 30, with a live YouTube fundraiser telethon. Now, that's something different at telethon. However, wait, there is more, much, much more, in this edition of news from your Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB.
This news originates from the Wireless Institute of Australia, born to lead since 1910.
This is Chris Dimitrievich, VK3FY, with this week's WIA Board Report for VK1 WIA Weekly News. The board of the WIA had a full briefing by Peter Young, VK3MV, our delegate who attended and represented the Wireless Institute of Australia for the week at the IRAU Region 3 meeting held in Thailand. Peter advised that principles were established for band planning and that the proposal by the IRAU Region 3 HF Band Plan Committee for the 40-metre band will be sent to a committee before being presented to the other two regions' meetings over the next 3 years. Those elected at the meeting in Thailand for the ARAU Region 3 administration for the next 3 years are as follows. President, Wisnu Widayaya, Yankee Bravo Zero, Alpha Zulu. Vice President, Moad Aris Burnawi, 9 Mike 2 India Radio. Secretary, Treasurer, Ken Yamamoto, Japan Alpha 1 Charlie Juliet Papa, and Ordinary Members Taro Asao, JA1 Bravo Japan India, Jakari Hantongkom, Hotel Sugar 1 Fox Victor Lima, Dr. Sung Ki Lee, Hotel Lima 1 India Whiskey Delta, Oscar Reyes, Victor Kilo 3 Tango X-Ray, and Johnny Su, Victor Radio 2 X-Ray Mike Charlie. This has been WIA Director Chris Dimitrievich, VK3FY, for VK1 WIA Weekly News.
Thanks, Chris. And further to that, the ARRL, in their November 14 ARRL letter, say that, and I quote, "The conference dealt with a number of routine matters. Notably, the conference harmonised the CW portion of the 40-metre band plan with other regions by making 7 to 7040 kHz CW only. 7 to 7040 kHz CW only."
This is Editor-in-Chief of Amateur Radio Magazine, Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH. You've heard me say something like this before, so here it comes. Issue number 6 of AR Magazine rolled off the press at Bairnsdale last Wednesday, on time and under budget. Next week, the magazine will be leaping into letterboxes, post office boxes and local newsagents across the country. A few even go overseas. As promised in the last issue, this time we have two 50-year anniversaries to commemorate. First up is the amateur satellite, AO7, which is the oldest man-made satellite still working. It was launched on the 15th of November 1974. It is older, I repeat, older, than the two Voyager spacecraft, both of whom were launched in 1977. The crux of the AO7 story is that the satellite was conceived, developed and constructed in home workshops and basements by radio hams across Australia, Canada, Germany and America. AO7 carried a range of radio science and space engineering innovations that were later adopted widely by other spacecraft built by aerospace companies and organisations. AO7, 50 years and still doing its thing. Don't miss our feature, written by those involved. Rick Matthews, VK5BGN, with Jan King, VK4GEY, W3GEY. The second 50th anniversary feature, this issue, is about Cyclone Tracy, that devastated Darwin at Christmas in 1974. In a series of five articles over 16 pages, our writers detail the role amateur radio played in the immediate recovery following the cyclone's passing, along with experiences riding it out and of the aftermath. The Cyclone Tracy feature is vividly illustrated from the front cover to throughout the articles, including scenes of violent destruction. Reader discretion is advised. On technical matters, Lou DiStefano, VK3AQZ, describes a smart Arduino-controlled RF signal generator, while Jim Sosnan, VK3JST, has an update on his track-and-hold VFO for older rigs. And to comfort our cabal of contesters, we have the annual lift-out, the 2025 contest calendar, printed in the magazine's middle pages. But as usual, there's much, much more to read. Amateur Radio Magazine, Issue 6, More Guts, Less Gab, serving Australian amateurs since 1933. Proudly produced and printed in Australia, also available online. Always published to a schedule, never random. I'm Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH, for VK1WIA News.
On the education front, I mentioned the ARRL Teachers Institute. Well, they are growing, and next year, a number of social media stars are coming together to help the telethon happen. On Saturday, November 30, a live fundraiser telethon is set to take place on the Ham Radio Crash Course YouTube channel. Host Josh Nash, KI6NAZ, will be joined by several web-famous hams to talk radio and to raise money. The proceeds benefit the ARRL Education and Technology Fund, which it pays for the Teachers Institute. Now to Australiana, and Defence has confirmed it will use the Optus X satellite launched by SpaceX last Monday morning, Australian time. The satellite is an important element of Defence's assured access to space-enabled communications, an Australian Defence spokesperson said in a statement to IT News. An Optus spokesman said, "It had procured a spacecraft on behalf of another organisation. We respect the privacy of our customers and do not provide comment on these matters." Defence has been using Optus satellite services since 2003 and elected back in 2022 to extend its arrangement with the telco through to 2034. As IT News reported at the time, the Optus satellite that Defence has been using, C1, was set to reach its end of life in 2027. It's understood that the Optus X satellite launch relates to the 2022 agreement and will enable services to continue through to 2034.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
Hello. Leading this week's international news from New Zealand. As reported earlier, NZART had been contacted by a member of the French amateur radio community about participating in an event recognising the end of World War II. While NZART Council acknowledges public opinion about this event, they wish to make it very clear that NZART, as an association and community, does not support war in any form. In their monthly news broadcast, it was said NZART will not take part in the organisation of this event. However, Council acknowledges it to be a way to recognise the end of the war and serve as a form of remembrance. Therefore, they have approved the issue of the special event call sign Zulu Lima 80, Mike Alpha Yankee, for a three-month period. Their item concluded with, "NZART remains neutral regarding participation extending beyond nations, part of the Allied forces." To news from Japan, Yaesu has added three new mobile VHF-UHF transceivers to its website, yaesu.com. All three focus on Yaesu's Super DX feature, which is designed to improve weak signal reception. While that feature isn't new, Yaesu has added an audio digital signal processing unit, ADS, that also activates when engaging Super DX. ADS is designed to further improve weak signals. All three models include ADS as part of the improved Super DX feature. Product highlights include FT3185RASP, 85-watt 144 MHz FM mobile transceiver, FT3165RASP, 65-watt 144 MHz FM mobile transceiver, which includes a front speaker, FTM150RASP, a 55-50-watt 144 430 MHz FM dual-band mobile transceiver with a detachable front panel. To Ireland, growth in new membership. IRTS membership is on the rise with the addition of 47 new members. Of that number, 7 are YLs and 2 are under the age of 18. This brings the total of new membership in the Irish National Society, IRTS, this year to 115. Plans are underway to foster the YL community, with now over 27 licensed throughout Ireland. To the USA, congratulations to Jim Dalkey, Whiskey 7 Papa Bravo. This broadcast engineer has been honoured by the Society of Broadcast Engineers, SBE, with its Engineer of the Year Award, named for Robert W. Flanders. W7PB, wonder if that PB stands for personal best, is the only person to have received the Society's recognition twice. He first received the award in 2014. The honour is presented to an SBE member whose career is marked by excellence and who advances the mission of the SBE. Having spent a lifetime at various broadcast radio and TV stations, Jim continues to be active in the radio industry at age 85. His professional involvement includes assisting the operations of three AM stations in the Seattle area, and over the years his contributions and innovations have included creation of a digital weather display that helps TV weathercasters better show the National Weather Service radar on the air, a feature that was later purchased by some major market TV stations. Jim remains a fervent believer in the value and future of AM broadcast radio, particularly to deliver alerts in times of emergencies. Emergency response is something he knows well, a ham since the age of 14. Jim is active in the Washington State Emergency Management Division. Still in the US, US Congressional Commission has approved a Manhattan Project-style initiative to fund the development of AI systems that will be as smart or smarter than humans amid intensifying competition with China over advanced technologies. The bipartisan US-China Economic and Security Review Commission stressed that public-private partnerships are key in advancing artificial general intelligence, but did not give any specific investment strategies as it released its annual report. The Manhattan Project was a large-scale collaboration between the US government and the private sector during World War II that produced the first atomic bombs. We've seen throughout history that countries that are first to exploit periods of rapid technological change can often cause shifts in the global balance of power. Jacob Hellberg, a USCC commissioner and senior advisor to software companies Palantir's CEO, told Reuters, "China is racing towards AGI. It's critical that we take them extremely seriously," Hellberg added. For VK1 WIA National News in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Now, QantasWise 2024. VHF UHF Field Day on now. 0100 hours UTC Saturday 23 November, 3005 hours UTC Sunday 24 November, 0400 0359 in VK6. CQ Worldwide CW Qantas on now, November 23-24. Start 0100 hours UTC Saturday, ending the Sunday at 23:59 hours. Ham Spirit Qantas. Inspired by the amateur code written by Paul M. Siegel, W9EEA, in 1928, the 2024 edition of the Ham Spirit Qantas will be held in a single round from 0800 hours UTC on Saturday 30th November to 0759 UTC on Sunday 1 December. Based out of Russia, the Ham Spirit Qantas comes from a team at the Spirit of Amateur Radio Without Borders. and its objective is for amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs in as many Maidenhead grid fields and ITU zones as possible, using CW and SSB on the 160, 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 metre bands. ARRL 160 metres CW. December 6 to 8 is the date this year, but as always, the first full weekend of December. Begins 2200 hours UTC Friday, ending 1559 hours UTC Sunday. This is a 42-hour period with no time limitation. 10-metre ARRL contest. For amateurs worldwide to exchange QSO information with as many stations as possible on the 10-metre band. Second full weekend in December starts 0100 hours UTC Saturday, runs through 2359 hours UTC Sunday, December 14-15. Again, as in most ARRL tests, logs are to be completed and returned within 7 days. YOTA contest. Youth on the air test 303 will be from 10 hours to 21.59 hours UTC on 29 December on the 5 classic bands CW and SSB. DX window to the world. Listen for the pile-ups as a young generation of operators calls QRZ as 3D2Y. The strong presence of youthful operators is a hallmark of the Rotuma Island DX expedition on the air through to the 4th of December. The Pacific Islands DX Expedition Group has sent a team to the South Pacific Island, which includes Jamie, M0SDV, and Connor, KD9LSV, who are both 24, and Lucas, LY7J, who is 22. At the same time, young operators and shacks around the world will be calling QRZ to get their first sampling of what it's like to be on the end of a DX Expedition pile-up. The activation's remote component will be handled by youth on their hams from their stations in Turkey, South Korea, Canada, France, and elsewhere. Case W0AAE will be coordinating operation of the remote stations, which are set up as next-gen RIBs, self-contained radios in a box, that are gaining popularity in a number of recent island expeditions. The Radio Club des Ardennes, ON4RCA, will be on the air as Oscar Oscar 8 0 Bravo Bravo, now through to the 15th of December, commemorating the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge during World War II. QSLs can only be requested via Club Logs OQRS until the 31st of January 2025. Special call sign HB50VC is active until the 31st of December, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Swissair Amateur Radio Club HB9VC. You can also download a certificate for working this special event station from the link we like in the text editions of WIA National News. The 9L5A team, who are members of the F6KAP Club, are active from Sierra Leone until the 8th of December on the 160 to 6 metre bands, QSL by F5GSJ, Logbook of the World, or Club Log OQRS. In the World DX, we are listening for members of the Zurich City Police Radio Amateur Club, who throughout the year have been operating as HB20SP, as the club marks its 20th anniversary. Unfortunately, no Bureau QSLs, but you can use Logbook of the World, and HB20SP runs until the end of next month, that is, December 31. For VK1WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ Inningham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, special interest group news with Col, VK3GTV.
Hello, first up we'll check out worldwide special interest group news, parks on the air and other adventure groups. The ZL New Zealand Parks on the Air Awards program currently has 5 official events each year, but the main purpose of these events is to get out in parks and to have fun. Imagine life on the road and life on the air, rolled into one great combination. One group of hams in the UK is doing just that. The Facebook group started as a bit of fun among friends, but the UK Motorhome and Amateur Radio group has grown into a community that organiser Linda Mary Maud, G0YLM, describes as the perfect combination of two hobbies. She believes that amateur radio allows people to travel in one fashion, and a van or motorhome simply allows travel in another fashion. The group began a little more than a year ago as a bit of fun between radio friends, but has taken off in popularity since then. The advantages include being away from the electrical noises encountered at home and, of course, the chance to meet other hams in person at last. In fact, she said, there are even a few boat owners and campers using tents who've joined the parade of camper vans, caravans and motorhomes. Linda, G0YLM, would love to see the group become an international one and said, if you enjoy radio and enjoy travelling, that's all we ask. Worldwide Special Interest Group News, AM H Night Contest. This year's ZL H Night Contest will be on Sunday, December the 8th. The contest marks ZL Amateur's return to air after World War II, which was on the 8th of December, 1945. It's also the New Zealand anniversary of the 1941 Pearl Harbor attack and commemorates all the amateurs who served and especially those who gave their lives for our freedom during World War II. There are 5 half-hour sessions starting at 7:30 p.m. New Zealand Daylight Time, concluding at 10 p.m. All stations are to use AM mode on 80 meters. Points are awarded depending on the equipment used by the station you contact. There's also a shortwave listener section, with points awarded according to the type of receiver used. The contest was reactivated a few years ago by Rob, ZL2IW, who was the coordinator. Rob will use the special call sign ZL6H for the evening, and extra points will be awarded for contacts with ZL6H and for vintage valve stations. The rules are to be found on the NZART website under Contests. Worldwide Special Interest Groups Digital. It's with sadness that we noted the passing of Thomas E. Kurtz on November the 12th. He was the co-inventor of the basic programming language back in the 1960s. Though his creation may not receive the attention in 2024 that it would have done in 1984, the legacy of his work lives on in the generation of technologists who gained their first taste of computer programming through it. Origins of BASIC lie in the Dartmouth time-sharing system, like similar time-sharing operating systems of the day, designed to allow the resources of a single computer to be shared across many terminals. In this case, the computer was the Dartmouth College, and BASIC was designed to be a language with which software could be written by average students who perhaps didn't have a computing background. In the decade that followed, it proved ideal for the new microcomputers, and few were the home computers of the era which didn't boot into some form of BASIC interpreter. Kurtz continued his work as a distinguished academic and educator until his retirement in 1993, but throughout he remained as the guiding hand of the language. Should you ask a computer scientist their views on BASIC, you'll undoubtedly hear about its shortcomings, and no doubt mention will be made of the go-to statement and how it made larger projects very difficult to write. This is all true, but at the same time, it misses the point of it being a readily understandable language for first-time users of machines with very little in the way of resources. It was the perfect programming start for a 1970s or 1980s beginner, and once its limitations had been reached, it provided the impetus for a move to higher things. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Final Frontier. AMSAT-SM, the Swedish group of AMSAT, are reporting the recently launched ASRTU-1 CubeSat's FM transponder is active. Satellite ASRTU-1 recently deployed to space with an FM transponder, SSDV cameras and a telemetry system. Initial images and telemetry have been received by ground stations and the FM transponder continues to be active. The FM transponder's uplink of 145.850 MHz, 67 Hz CTCSS, and a downlink of 435.400 MHz. After the repeater detects the end of uplink, it will wait for half a second. If no new uplink in half a second, telemetry will be sent. So make fast QSOs, as the telemetry is less like to interrupt you. The satellite has 2 cameras with an SSDV downlink for low-resolution images on 436.210 MHz and a high-speed downlink on 10460 MHz for high-resolution images. ASRTU-1 is a 12-unit CubeSat designed through a collaboration between Chinese and Russian students from the Harbin Institute of Technology. More information is available from AMSAT-SM. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, IOTA. Listen for Krish W4VKU operating in the Andaman Islands, IOTA number AS001, using the call sign VU4A. Krish is activating in late November and will be on the air through to mid-December. It will operate SSB and FT8 in multi-stream MSHV mode on 160 through to 6 metres. See qrz.com for QSL details. Listen for Dave, WJ20, who'll be active as PJ6/WJ20 from Sabah, IOTA number NA145, until November 26, QSL via N2ZN. Oleg ZS1ANF can be heard operating as ZS7ANF from Wolf's Fang Runway, Queen Maud Land, Antarctica, IOTA number AN016, from mid-November through to late February 2025. Listen for him using CW on 40 through to 10 metres, and again, check qrz.com for QSL details. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Young Timers, YOTA, Youngsters on the Air. Here's Alec, VK2MV.
Thank you, Cole. We YOTAs seem to be more active overseas than right here in VK. Or are we? I'd really like to hear from fellow youngsters about what local activity you get up to. This is for including in both this WIA National News Service and in our column for the Amateur Radio Magazine. So now, a quick look at our YOTA world. Eyewitness News in northeastern and central Pennsylvania from WBRE-TV, an NBC affiliate, and WYOUT-TV, a CBS affiliate, has a weekly Here's to You Kids segment. Recently, 2822 News introduced viewers to a teen and his role at the Monroe County Public Safety Center. Samuel Thrall is not seated as a Pleasant Valley school desk where you would usually find him. Instead, he is lending a hand at the Monroe County Public Safety Center. The 14-year-old teen helps others behind the mic in the event of an emergency. So say a blizzard happened. We would be deployed to various Red Cross centers through the country to establish communications, Sam told us. Back in October, 62 middle school students participated in the National School Club Roundup and got a chance to talk to amateur contacts across the USA and around the world. The Estes Valley Amateur Radio Club worked with individual groups of 2 to 3 students to teach them how to use the radio and make contacts. This took place at the Estes Park Memorial Observatory, where a radio room has been set up for student use. For VK1 WIA National News, I am Alec, VK2MV in Sydney. Now back to you, Cole.
Thanks, Alec. And from Young Timers, it's over to Worldwide Special Interest Groups Radio Amateur Old Timers. Recently, we ran a story of a ham radio station stroke club being set up in an over-50s lifestyle village in the USA. Now, from the UK comes word a Merseyside Society for former radio officers has found a new home at the Nautilus Retirement Estate in Mariners Park. The club meets every Friday morning and members transmit to amateur radio enthusiasts around the UK and beyond. The equipment they use is similar to the devices they used on board every day for work until the radio officer role was phased out in the 1980s. Some of the retired radio officers who live or now meet at Mariners Park have been members of the club since it was founded over a decade ago as the Marine Radio Museum Society, Wirral. The call sign at that time was GB2PLY, and the society transmitted from the historic warship HMS Plymouth. And that's the latest Worldwide Special Interest Group news for this week. I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
2024, it's a date, and clubs are welcome to email, text, along with audio for this section, as once again Nathan has done.
Hi all, this is Nathan, VK5OG, President of the South Coast Amateur Radio Club. On Thursday, the 28th of November, 2024, at our new club rooms at Hastings Street, Seaford, we'll be holding our annual general meeting. Club rooms will open at 6:30 p.m. through to 9 p.m. Please attend, and we hope to see you on the night at Hastings Street, Seaford. This has been Nathan, VK5OG, President of the South Coast Amateur Radio Club.
And in VK4, the Brisbane VHF Group's Showcase Day, September 8 at Redcliffe and District Radio Club. We'll see you next week. I'm Graham, VK4BB. Walk softly.
This has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.